Good morning. To be here with you all today, why don't we pray and then read our Bibles. God, we come to you and we thank you because you give us these beautiful moments that we could come together and worship you. We could sing your praises. We could pray together. We can remember Jesus. We can read your word together. And as we do that, God, I pray that through your word that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, flip over to Deuteronomy. And I know that is the absolute worst attention-grabbing way to start a sermon, but it is what it is. Flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to look at something that I think is quite interesting as we're going through Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy 8, look at verse 19. We're going to start off with this strong warning that God gives his people, and then we'll see where that goes. Look at verse 19. If you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. If you forget, it starts off with this exhortation. Don't forget. Don't forget. It's dangerous to forget. He tells them, you'll be destroyed if you forget. Don't forget. Don't forget what? Don't forget who God is. Don't forget what he's done for us. Don't forget your relationship with him. It's dangerous to forget. And so then we would ask, well, why? Why is it so dangerous to forget? Why does God warn them so strongly and severely that they can't? Don't forget me. Because there is a great spiritual danger at the door for all of us. We are constantly in spiritual danger as we go through life. We don't see it, but it's always there. It's right. What is the danger? It's that we would drift away from God, that we would leave God, that all of a sudden we would wake up and not be not just here, but not be close to God in our hearts, that we would drift away. It's like what John said in Revelation. We're going to flip around a little bit, and then we'll go back to Deuteronomy, and we'll be there for a little bit. So flip with me, if you will. Go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. John says to the church in Ephesus, but I have this against you, and in John's writing, God speaking, that you have abandoned the love you had at first, drifting away from God. Or then 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 18. As Paul exhorts Timothy to not drift away, he lifts up two examples of people who had drifted away, something all of us could do if we took the time. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. Among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. That's the danger. It's that we would drift away from God, and it's dangerous, so dangerous, because we could so easily do it. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It's not something we necessarily, I guess you could, I don't think you'd ever do it, we decide to do. It's something that just happens. Hebrews 2, verse 1, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And I read that, and in my mind, I just go back to, you know, when you're driving and those moments that when you feel just the panic set in because you realize there's ice and you didn't know there was ice and your car is drifting. And you know that feeling? That's what I feel when I read this. It's lest we drift away from it. He warns us, don't drift away. Why? Because there is a very real and constant temptation for God's children that we could and many times do drift away from our Father. We are all in danger of drifting away from God. So today we can be close to God, and we take that for granted because I just sang and I felt something, and as we worship together and we're reading the Bible, and I feel love for Jesus, and I read my Bible when I wake up in the morning, and I talk about God to other people, and we sing to him, and then all of a sudden we can wake up and be far away from God. And the reason why forgetting is so important is because drifting starts with forgetting. As we forget, we start to drift. As we forget the greatness of God and how He's worked in our lives and the commitment and the devotion that we should have towards Him, we start drifting away. That's why it's so dangerous to forget, because as we forget, we drift. When we forget, we lose the passion. Our devotion to God disappears. The evangelism, us just kind of impromptu speaking the name of Jesus to the people we work with and in our families, and feeling the need to talk about the gospel to those around us, and that disappears. Sin enters into our lives, and we find ourselves farther and farther away from God and from His people, which is why God warns His people, don't forget. Don't forget, remember, you have to remember, because forgetting is our constant temptation. There's moments when we feel good, when the mountaintop moments, right? When we've seen big things that God has done. This is, I love standing here and thinking about this, because here is where in our body where we baptize people. It's empty. No, it's not. Okay, just low. We baptize people. And so it's very easy for me in my mind to go to the place where someone was just baptized. And maybe I'm out here running the camera and reading the Bible, or maybe I'm in there doing the baptizing. Either way, you feel the same thing. The person that you've known for so long, and you've watched whoever studied with them, and they've watched their path, and then you got to the point where you kind of despaired of them ever coming to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, God moves in their heart, and they say, I want that. And they make their decision, and they get baptized, and they come up out of the water, and there's no greater feeling than that, right? That's one of those moments where you say, I could never walk away from God. That would be impossible. When we see God's work in our lives, God moves in a way that we are visibly, tangibly see it. We feel that He's freed us from a sin, or something has happened in our lives. We know that was God. We feel our passion is high, but then little by little, that passion fades and wanes as we go through life, the routine, all the stuff we got to do. I love this moment, but as soon as I leave here, I have a list a mile long for, and not complaining. I said that with a complaining voice. It's a blessing, but I have a list a mile long, right? And we all do. We all have stuff we have to do as our daily demands overwhelm us. The passion starts to just diminish a little bit, and little by little we forget. And as we forget, we drift. It's like what Jesus said. One more jump before you can go back to Deuteronomy after this. Go to Matthew 13, verse 22. It's like what Jesus said in the parable of the sower. Isn't that what He was talking about? Look at verse 22. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. It's the slow death of being choked out. It's as we forget, as we go about life, all of a sudden I'm not reading the Bible like I did before, and I don't get excited about singing, and I'm not talking about Jesus to other people, and I still come to church. I mean, a lot of times, but it's a drag. I have to drag myself here. Have you felt that? Maybe not now. Maybe now. Have you felt that in your life, that forgetting and that drifting? Forgetting is a constant danger for us, which is why God commands His children to remember. If forgetting is so dangerous, then he comes and He says, remember. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. And we're going to read a lot. You say, well, we already done that. Yeah, we have, but we're going to read a lot more. Just so you know, I tried to pare all of these readings down as much as I could. So this is the bare minimum. Go back to these chapters and read the rest of it for yourselves. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 10. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give you with great and good cities that you did not build, houses full of all good things that you did not fill, cisterns that you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, this is it. Then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Don't forget God, the one who gave you the freedom, who freed you, the one who gave you everything that you now enjoy. Verse 13. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him shall you serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. For the Lord your God is in your midst, is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. He said, remember who God is. He is the great king of the universe. He's the only true God. And remember to treat him as God, to worship him. Lift your voice to him alone in song. Treat him with respect, not somebody that you would snap your fingers and they come and when you need them to do something for you. Obey his commandments. Be faithful to him. Look at verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes of the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are to this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. He's saying, remember God by proclaiming him to your children, by teaching others to know him as well. It is incredibly important to remember God, if we will serve God. Flip a couple chapters over to chapter 8, Deuteronomy 8. Look at verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, of pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. You shall eat and be fruitful and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. And then verse 11, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his rules, and his statutes that I commanded you today. There it is again. Remember, it's important to remember. Remember who gave you everything you have when things are good. Remember to obey him. Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up. So he says, remember, so that this doesn't happen, your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground when there was no water, who brought you out water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. Remember who God is. Over and over, you see how he's just going back to that theme, so that you don't become prideful, so that you don't put yourself in his place, feeling that you're the one who governs in your life, that is because of what you do that you have what you have, that is because of how good you are that you have become the person that you are. Remember his power and his goodness to you. And then 19, and if you forget the Lord your God, remember, forget, remember, if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Ends then with that strong, strong warning that we started with. It's dangerous to forget God, and it's incredibly important to remember him. So what do we do? What's the application for you and I? pretty obvious, right? And we've been saying it the whole time from the beginning. We should always remember God. We should actively, I'm going to change, I'm going to write that word in for tonight. We should actively remember God. That's what we should do. What should we remember? Well, let's remember together. We should remember who our God is, that He's the King of the universe, that He does and controls everything, that in Christ He is our Father. We should remember what He's done for us together and individually. We should remember our salvation, the day that you hit the water and came up, and then the transformation that He worked in you in that moment and every day after that. We should remember how He adopted us into His family. And when we pray, we could say, "My Father who is in heaven," and that we have a family that He's given us. We should remember the blessings that He's given us, and the earthly ones, of course. Those are the easy ones to remember because we could touch them and feel them, but also the heavenly ones. We have a home in heaven. We should remember the Holy Spirit who He has given, He has put inside of us. And we should remember our commitment to Him. When we gave ourselves to Jesus, we repented and were baptized. We promised that He would be what? Our Lord and our Savior, that He would get to tell us what to do, that His family would be our family, that bringing His kingdom to people's hearts would be our mission. That's what we should remember. How do we remember that? Remember when we read the Bible, and I know it's like, to me, it feels like every week I go back to this in the application, but it's kind of the universal application. We remember when we read the Bible. I can't tell you how many mornings I wake up and I've forgotten. I'm not thinking about, and then I read the Word and I remember who God is and who I am and what He's done and what He will do and what He wants me to do. We remember when we read the Bible. We remember when we sing, and I know I talk about singing a lot, but that's why we sing. Think about it. The hymns that we sing, I say hymn broadly, whether it's campfire choruses or, you know, really, really old hymns. The hymns that we sing tend to be what? Descriptions of who God is. So we're singing to God about who He is. Why do we do that? We're glorifying Him and we're remembering. We're reminding ourselves. And the other part of what we sing is descriptions of what God has done for us, right? So together we sing to praise God, and also so we can remember. We remember what God has done. I actively remember by thanking Him. So when we pray, it's not just a bucket list of everything that we want Him to do for us today and the stuff we hope He'll do and the stuff we know He's probably not going to do, but we're going to say it anyway just in case. We should have in our prayers thankfulness. Thank you for, and then what He did right now and what He's done a long time ago. We should thank Him. We remember actively when we speak the gospel to other people, because interwoven in you speaking the gospel to me, in you discipling me or you evangelizing me, and you speaking the gospel to me is your testimony. It's what God has done for you. It is who God is to you and what He's done for you. And as you speak that, you're remembering, and it's real again because you're telling me and I'm hearing that. Here's a question. If you're a Christian, what can you do to consciously remember more, to actively remember more this week as you go through this week? And for those of us who aren't Christians yet, watching God's children remember is an invitation to you. It's an invitation to receive what God gives His children. The forgiveness of your sins and being completely transformed and God's Holy Spirit in you and being adopted into God's eternal family. If you're not a Christian, you can have all of that when you surrender to Jesus, when you give yourself to Him by repenting and being baptized. When you come up out of the water, as you've given yourself to Him in that moment, He's your Savior, He's your Lord. In that moment, then you will have something to then remember for the rest of your life and for all of eternity, and to thank God for as you have entered into His family. And when you say, I want that, I want to be God's child, tell someone here, you can repent, you can be baptized. And there's something else. God gives His children to help us remember. And this is, it's because remembering is so important and forgetting is so present and it's so dangerous. God gives His children symbols, physical symbols, to help us remember. Go back to Deuteronomy. Probably the only time that the sermon will continue after the application, but it was either now or later, and then anyway. editorial decisions. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 27. So when Moses was speaking to the people of Israel, they were about to cross over the Jordan River. They're about to go into the promised land. And he gives them this commandment, Deuteronomy 27, verse 1. Now Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep the whole commandment that I command you today. And, listen to this, on the day you cross over the Jordan to the land that the Lord your God has given you, you shall set up large stones and plaster them with plaster, and you shall write on them all the words of the law when you cross over to enter the land that the Lord your God has given you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord the God of your fathers has promised you. And when you have crossed over the Jordan, you shall set up these stones. So then look at Joshua, a little farther on. Joshua, right? Okay, close away. So now Joshua was the leader, and Moses had gone to be with the Lord. Joshua was the leader. They were going to cross the Jordan River. Now look at what they do. They do what Moses instructed them to do. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. When the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man. Command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial. A memorial is to remember, right? Forever. Now jump to verse 24. So that, do all this, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. He gives them something physical, something that they can see and touch with their hands, something that would remind them forever that God had redeemed them and how God had redeemed them and how God had worked among them, something through which they would be able to proclaim to everyone around them who their great God was and that they were his people and what he had done for them. And it's not just them. You know where this is going, right? God also gives us a symbol so that we would not forget. One more verse, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Yeah. The Apostle Paul says, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in a remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. God gives us bread and juice, the elements that we see and that we can touch every week. And this symbol, this is the symbol, the biggest physical symbol that we have that helps us remember that Jesus is our God, that he gave his body and his blood to free us from our rebellion against the Father, that we belong to him, that he is our Lord. This, we remember this every week by taking the Lord's Supper, and we proclaim to ourselves and to our children, to the world, that we have a Savior and that we are his people. We are purchased with the blood of the Son of God. Why don't we pray and we'll take the bread together. God, we come to you and we thank you. Thank you for moments like this in which you remind us to remember. You remind us what you've done for us. You remind us how good you are. You remind us that we belong to you. And you remind us to not forget that, to make that be the ever-present reality in our minds and in our hearts as we go through this week. And we thank you, God, for giving us this symbol that we can remember you by, to remind us that your body was hung on the cross and your blood was shed and you gave yourself for us so that we could be your children. You freed us from bondage and we belong to you and you are our God. Thank you for reminding us of that. May we commit ourselves to you once again as we take the bread together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.